launched their fourth campaign with a win. The Fighting Justins start off strong by downing the defending champs. The RHP and the Privateers continue their high-scoring ways. Week one is done, leading us to Couch Bowl Week. All this and more from the Windows 10 Studio. It's this week's edition of the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League Sports Desk.
Championship Edition.
I couldn't help but notice that you managed to work yourself into the highlight package at the beginning of the show.
Hey, when you write the script, you benefit from the extra PR.
This is true. I have to give you that one. At least you're honest about it.
And I guess we're not doing this in one take.
That will be one take when you hear it.
Amateurs do two take.
It is Gary One Take Godso.
I'll be in my trailer.
I know, really. It's Jamie's our paid talent on this program. He gets the donuts with the pink icing.
Ooh.
I know.
Ooh.
Sprinkles. All right. Hey, let's go right to the scoreboard.
Start the music.
Our first game of the week, 2012 champions Charlottesville visited the Paris Dynamite, throwing up a 105-69 win, as predicted. Debbie, not doing so hot. Chris Ivory, the big scorer from the flex spot for Charlottesville, throwing up 21 points.
You will never see that again.
No.
For the remainder of the season, never see that again.
No, Cleveland's the one team in the league where they can put 10 guys in the box and not have it matter. Matt Ryan with 18 points. Jeremy Hill from the other flex spot coming strong with 18. The Jets defense cooking up 14. Just a strong performance up and down the roster from Charlottesville. Debbie's Nanomites led by Drew Brees with 17 in the Saints' loss in Arizona. Not looking too bad. She got 13 from number one pick Marshawn Lynch. And a notable stuff in overtime from the fearsome Rams defense.
The question is that irony or poetic justice that in game one they run the ball and don't get it?
I think it's irony. I think poetic justice would be if they ran it in the Super Bowl next year and got it.
Okay.
I think this is just irony that they ran it and didn't get it.
All right.
I scored more points kicking last week than Adam Vinatieri did for the Colts. Negative one on the board. Not that that really would have mattered. Moving on to game two, Springfield rolling up on the Chuckbusters, 101-65.
Wow, talk about rebounding quick after your Chucko. Holy cow.
Yeah, similar smack down there. Light game out of Teddy Bridgewater, quarterback for Springfield, but again, just good performances up and down the roster. Antonio Brown with 19 in Pittsburgh loss last Thursday led the way for Springfield. 18 from the Broncos defense it was a great defensive game. It was a terrible football game.
Boring game.
Yeah, 14 for Matt Bryant in Atlanta's kicking win in another boring slop fest. Andrew Luck with 20 points for the Chuckbusters.
That was it.
That was about it, yeah. Julian Edelman with 9, a bunch of chump change getting spread around the roster otherwise. Very top-heavy performance from the Chuckbusters roster. I don't think that's going to be a problem for him going forward, though.
No, should not be.
He's got a solid roster there. He had a bunch of guys and nobody got in the end zone. Whereas yeah. I think Springfield had everybody get in the end zone.
Yeah, and I don't think with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback and Todd Gurley being on the bench for at least 6 games and Martavius Bryant suspended for 4 games, I think you might be looking at the Springfield Teal Ninjas game of the season early on. There's just a lot of points there from people you wouldn't expect to get that many. We'll see how that plays out, but it's just going to be a long road to get consistent points out of your skilled players if your quarterback's going to be scoring under 10 all season.
Yeah, and I don't see that being the case. San Francisco's still a good defensive club, even with the personnel that they lost. There's still some uncertainty at the receiver positions for Minnesota, and I think they'll get better as the season goes on. Tough week one matchup for that, but they were able to withstand it. Moving forward, Darklonia.
Woo!
Woo! Woo! 141 points. Throwing up all over Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt.
Just wipe it up.
Spitting up on you like a newborn baby. They're all allergic to fabric softener, you know.
And screen-printed logos.
Just... Tom Brady, 35 points, leading the way for Darklonia. We all made fun of him. We all ate our words on that one. DeAndre Hopkins from Houston with 24. The Seattle defense despite giving up 34 points to the Rams, threw 18 on the board.
They scored two more touchdowns than my skill players.
Yeah. Eddie Lacy, Brandon Marshall, and the Giants superstar Josh Brown, each with 15 points apiece. Whereas Aaron Rodgers had 28 for the Fightin' Jamies, and very little else going on. Robbie Gould, 13, chipping in a couple touchdowns there. But not much else from the rest of the roster. You got the goose egg from Nelson Aguilar. Tough game for the rookie out of the gate.
Odell Beckham locked down pretty much in that game.
Didn't do a whole lot. He had some catches. Did not get in the end zone.
Just to let you know, his 4 points, still better than either of the two receivers I left on the bench.
Yeah, you had to play him.
I lost so badly, I don't have to feel bad about missing the Bishop Sankey 20-point output.
Yeah.
Bishop Sankey explodes for his largest week ever.
The funny part of it is that it didn't look a whole lot different than his rushing totals from the infamous Bishop Sankey game. But somehow it was worth 20 points. I don't understand that one.
He caught a touchdown.
Ah, okay. I missed that.
Ramblin' Ed caught one. Had two touchdowns on the day. Actually, it looked good. It looked fast.
You know, that offensive line has to be better than it was last year. I can't see as he would take a step backwards. He could have been O.J. Simpson and Walter Payton combined and not got 1,000 yards last year behind that Tennessee line. They were awful. Moving forward to game four, the surprisingly game Buffalo Wild Bills back from their two-season absence. They lose to Fort Wadsworth at home, 97-81. Gary Godso with the win despite 7 points from Eli Manning.
Yeah.
Kind of surprised by that. I would have thought just the team put up 26. I would have thought he had a bigger part of that.
He threw no touchdowns, didn't really run anything. He didn't have a bad game in terms of turnovers. He just didn't do an awful lot.
Yeah.
Didn't throw a connecting score. So that gets you a low total. And sitting on my bench is Nick Foles with a 300-yard game and a touchdown.
And the big score at the end of the game there, yeah.
Until that proved otherwise, Eli will still be my starter.
I don't know, man. Nick Foles gets the mighty Redskins next week. He might be your pick. Anyways, Gronk bailed you out, though. 27 points out of the tight end spot.
Gronk score points.
Yo soy fiesta. Panthers defense with 21, killing the Blake Bortles era for one more week. Meanwhile, on the Buffalo side, Julio Jones, 26 points at the receiver spot. Carlos Hyde, with his huge day against the Vikings, 29, and nothing else on the roster.
I'll tell you what, I was watching in the Monday night games last night, and I had like an 85-25 lead on him, and I'm thinking, what a throttling. And at the end of the night, I was kind of sweating because Carlos Hyde had the game of his life, and Julio Jones had a pretty typical game for him. He was the primary target all night for Matt Ryan. He made up the difference really quick. This game was a lot tighter at the end than it really was through Thursday and Sunday. But Monday night, if you got some good Monday night players, you can close the gap quickly. And that's what he did. Just wasn't enough.
I mean, you sweated it out to the tune of a 2-touchdown win, Gary, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Defense.
I mean, I think there's some change. I think the Buffalo, I mean, if Carlos Hyde's going to run the ball like that, this changes the complex of this team. But you'd like to see Mario Williams just isn't going to score a ton of points as a defensive end.
No.
I think you'd like to see a change out of that position. And then I think holding on to two tight ends in our league setup, I mean, I know that they'll both score points, but I think playing the guessing game with tight end here might be a little much.
Agreed. You got probably 5 or 6 tight on for a score every week. And after that, you're just kind of mixing and matching.
I think with all the weapons in Buffalo that aren't named Charles Clay, I think you'd want to look at just going with Martellus Bennett and roll that out. But, you know, just some opportunities there.
Yeah, there's some tight ends that were available after the draft. I didn't want to say anything because I didn't want it to be colluding with you guys as you would have kind of the first shot at them.
Because all I see are lies and collusion.
But Martellus Bennett didn't get drafted. Austin Seferian Jenkins didn't get drafted. He's going to be the primary target for Trabley. Even in that debacle, he had a big game. So there's some talent out there on the wire from tight ends. Probably won't be after this week. Moving forward, the Seattle Dreadnoughts knocking off the horror show 86.5-54. Funny story. you know, Zach Hoffman is our celebrity entrant. He is the owner of the Seattle Dreadnoughts and, of course, a winner last week. Was on vacation last week, missed the draft. He was out doing those Northwestern things that those Northwestern folks do. emailed us in a panic during the week. He's never played fantasy football before. He was afraid that because he had missed the draft, he didn't have a team in the league. We had to inform him back this week that not only does he have a team in this league, he actually won this past week, despite the fact that his starting tailback, Le'Veon Bell, was suspended and gave him nothing. But 15 points from Jay Cutler, 22 from Travis Kelce.
You'll never see that again.
That's the Chiefs. See, they're going to hit him a lot. He's going to score some points.
I don't think he's going to get 22 again.
No, but yeah, he's probably good for double digits every week. He might get 22 once in a while. I mean, it's two touchdowns and some yards. We know he's going to get targeted because there's still only Jeremy Maclin at the receiver spot.
Alex Smith is good for about 25 to 28 touchdowns, and none of those will be to a receiver. So
yeah,
the streak continues.
He might get four or five of them to Maclin before the end of the year, but it's not going to be that many. And then you look on the other side of the coin there, and not much coming from the horror show. A down week from Peyton Manning, only 4 points. Did get 15 from Jamal Charles, got 16 from Kendall Wright in Tennessee. That I wouldn't expect to see again. And he got nothing else from the rest of the roster. Mike Evans didn't give him anything. I don't think Mike Evans even played. Owen Daniels was a non-factor in that ugly game in Baltimore.
Luke Kuechly went out.
Luke Kuechly's out with a concussion for a couple weeks. Still got his 8 points. It wasn't bad for a defensive player.
And right now, I don't think Cody Parkey can kick the side of a barn.
Yeah, it's tough.
You may want to upgrade there, but you might see more points out of Kendall Wright this year. I think he's really one of the most underrated receivers in football. And I mean, I know it's week one and Mariota looked really good.
That was a Tampa Bay defense they were against, though.
But there might be some points there for Kendall Wright. And then from the Seattle Dreadnoughts, I think you're going to want to get Jarvis Landry into your lineup. That's a guy who is going to get 100 catches this year, get 800 yards because he never's downfield. But, man, that guy is going to get the ball all year.
It was a nice win in Zach's first week in fantasy football. He's going to need to do some roster shuffling, though. We got to get somebody in there for Le'Veon Bell. T.Y. Hilton is probably out for game two. And some roster spots that maybe didn't do a whole lot for him. Jacque Bell is going to do better than 4 points most week.
Joink.
Is it? I don't know. I have to try and give it some legitimacy. Mark Ingram's probably good for about that 11 every week. He's not going to score a bunch, but he's going to get the carries. Everson Griffin, that's a pretty good week for a defensive end, 4.5 points. So I'll give him some credit there. It's just there are some defensive guys that'll score more. And the Dolphins' defense is not a bad place to be. So Zach, we know you weren't trying to pay attention. Didn't have a whole lot of success, but good job all the same.
All right.
We know he's not going to listen to this, so we can tease him like that.
Hey, Zach, I'll be hitting you up for a trade for Le'Veon Bell. It's a matter of time.
I will be ready to refuse that trade. It is the Oregon Outpost 788 traveling to Long Island, dropping big time to the RHBs, 114 to 76.
Man, I'm glad they're not in my division this year.
You don't have to deal with Rock anymore. You're feeling... No,
thank God.
I think everybody else doesn't feel good about that over in the Dixon division.
Too bad.
I think Rock's mad. I think Rock's smash.
Well, Rock should be mad because if we weren't doing the sham offs.
Here we go.
There's your real champ.
Did somebody let the Baylor Bears in here?
Yeah, they did. They came in playing their fight song and everything.
Oregon Outpost, Ben Roethlisberger with 19, Jason Witten with 19, including the game winner in the Giants game that they just gave to Dallas Sunday night, and nobody else with much of anything. And meanwhile, you look over on the RHPs, Tony Romo at 26, Matt Forte with 22, 15 from J.J. Watt because he's J.J. Watt.
My God.
J.J. Watt's the defensive end that breaks the mold. Gets the passes defended, creates fumbles, creates interceptions, just a beast. Brandon McManus, the Denver kicker with 15, and again, we'll reference the slop bowl in Baltimore, or I guess that would be in Denver, but that was just awful football, and I'm scarred a little bit having seen it. So solid performances there. Some of his big guys didn't even get on the board. A.J. Green did not have a big game against Oakland. Eric Decker is not going to be he's not foremost on everybody's mind, but he's the best receiver the Jets have. He's going to get a lot of targets and a lot of balls. He only had 9 points. That Eagles defense I'm not so sure about, but they at least held the line. It didn't cost him anything.
Hey, Mike, I believe Brandon Marshall will question your choice of who's the best receiver on the Jets.
You know what? I got to see it from Brandon Marshall. Brandon Marshall's a little old and a little mouthy, and he's kind of at that stage for a lot of receivers where they're not quite as good as we remember them being. So I got to see a couple games out of Brandon Marshall before I'll come back on it. Not saying it can't happen. Just saying I'm not a believer anymore.
J.J. Watt, 9 tackles, 2 sacks.
Yeah. And, I mean, did he deflect any passes? He gets his big mitts in the air and swats a couple down every week, it seems like. He's better at that than he was, what, 3rd in the league last year? And that counts defensive backs in passes defended.
Well, we'll all miss him whenever he returns to his home planet.
Yeah, but that's probably not going to be till his mid-40s. That guy ain't going anywhere for a while, barring a hip exploding.
In our last game, Mike?
It contest us champions.
Game of the week!
Pure bit of touchdowns, traveling to New England, and dropping. 79-66 to the New England Bazookas. Scored less than Debbie, still the worst name in our league, New England Bazookas. Just uncreative, terrible, awful.
I can't say the two words that precede the word bazooka.
Yeah.
So I just call them the Fighting Justins.
Josh Morgan, we expect better of you, man. Russell Wilson, I have to say I respect Russell Wilson after that game against the Rams. I have never seen a quarterback running for his life quite to that degree and still almost pull out a win. 16 points for Russell Wilson, worth every penny of that extension they paid out for him this offseason. 12 points for D'Angelo Williams, 10 for Delanie Walker, who's not a bad pickup at tight end there from Tennessee, but he looks like he's going to be banged up for a few weeks as well. Dez Bryant went down for him in the Giants game.
He's out.
There's a problem. New England Bazookas got a strong game for Philip Rivers, everybody's favorite quarterback and bro. Flex spot for Alfred Morris, got 12 points, 10 from the Lions defense, and a lot of change besides. Not a big scoring game from either side. It was really the difference, you know, just the difference at a couple of spots inside of this thing. It was the quarterback spot and the 6-point difference. It was the odd points that got made up by the secondary guys that chipped into that 13-point win. So Justin Bell not off to the weak start that he was off to last year. Actually, he got off to a decent start.
He's 1/3 of the way there.
He lost like 9 in a row at one point. So I guess he did get off to this start last year. So we'll be pleased to see Justin get to 2-0 and then fall to 3-11. 79-66 winners in week one of the What's on Joe Mine FFL.
Next week.
Next week. Can we do this again? Get the hell out.
Tell the people.
You got to give the people what they want.
All right, then. We'll start off next week's schedule for week two here. Gary's Boss Fight t-shirts, travels to Springfield, not for JoeCon, but to see the Springfield Teal Ninjas, favored by 2.5 points, kind of a pick'em game there, followed by Charlottesville, traveling out to the Great Northwest to see Zach Hoffman's Dreadnought. The Dreadnoughts, almost a 10-point favorite there, so kind of a big one. Although, you know, Charlottesville was a dog this week, too. And they look what they did to Debbie.
Uthman always.
Yeah, it's Uthman. Don't deny the Uthman. Chuck Busters fly out to Oregon. Two teams looking for their first win. Chuck Busters are big favorites, 9-point favorites in that matchup. Darklonia will travel, take its big scoring self out to Pyramid of Touchdowns. Pyramid of Touchdowns, actually 4-point favorites in that game. The RHPs play host to Buffalo. Buffalo Wild Bills are a 14-point favorite.
No.
He's got some lineup changes he's going to need to make. He's got a flex spot that's a 0.
Yeah, Jamie Creech and the Horror Show go to New England. Looks like we got the same home teams this week as we did last week. The Bazookas try to get off to a 2-0 start to make their fall from grace that much more stunning. Favorite in that game, kind of a pick'em game. The Bazookas actually favored by 1.5. And lastly, our game of the week.
Couch Bowl 4.
I am not favored to win this.
You are not.
I am not worried at all.
You are big dogs in this one, but a reminder, Dan Uthman was a big dog last week. And you are playing Debbie.
That smack you heard in the background after you said that was her hitting me after she heard you.
Nice. Okay. Nice. We run more at Debbie's people. She hit you some more?
Pretty sure.
All right. Jamie, take it away.
Did we point out that Pierre Garçon scored a touchdown last week?
It doesn't matter. He's done.
Yeah,
he's done for the week.
It doesn't matter.
They got that Rams defense coming. Unless they hand him the ball, he's probably not going to get it a whole lot. But that's what we're looking like for week two there. You like it 2-0, Gary Gutson?
I feel good about 2-0. I do.
You like your chances there?
I feel good.
I'm going to take Debbie in this one.
Jamie picking the upset because that's what Jamie does. That's what the producers tell him to do in that little headset he wears.
He's not here for expert commentary. He's just here for sarcasm and opposite of whatever Gary and
Mike. He's here to be bitter and angry.
Angry, bitter, Baylor Bear.
Jamie Johnson, you thinking 1-1 is a possibility here?
Gary Boss Fights t-shirts is going to take me and Gary down with him. I think that's what's going to happen.
Oh.
Don't blame me for bringing you down.
Gary, if I can't win, nobody wins.
Well, that's it. That's early the season. Review for week one, preview of week two. There's not much going on.
Gentlemen, any parting shots?
Once again, I'm just still waiting for Gary's Boss Fight t-shirt to show up. Just saying.
Let's get out of here before that turns into something again.
Warriors will be 2-0, 4-0 in the Couch Bowl.
Thanks for joining us again, all 12 of you. For Gary Godso and Jamie Johnson, I'm Mike Irizarry. For the What's On Joe Mind Fantasy Football League and Sports Desk, reminding you,
beat Chuck just by playing.
Good night, everybody.
Championship.
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 Out of the zone.
Coach Mazzou.